The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
All right. We have to start the show on a bit of a sad note tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Mike will not be with us tonight. His beloved cat, Rampage, was put to sleep today, which is, anybody that's ever gone through it, is just one of the worst things you can ever experience. And so Mike will not be joining us tonight. And you're in our thoughts, buddy. That's all I can tell you. It's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never fun, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all pet owners. I'm sure there's plenty out there. It's usually not something you have to do once, but it still hurts all the same every time you have to. So
as old as I am, I've done it three different times now, and it never, it becomes part of the process of having a pet, and it never gets any easier. When I heard about Mike and Rampage today, I got choked up because I just know how hard it is. I'm not sure, but I think he's had Rampage since we first started doing the show. So she's been around a while. And I get it. I mean, there are people that, you know, they've done studies where people like react worse to animal deaths than they do to people deaths. So it's a horrible, horrible thing to go through.
Yeah. I've been through I had a childhood dog, and that was hard, but it wasn't my dog necessarily. I was kind of young, but I had a family cat that we had to put down. This is a long time ago, and that just killed me. And now that I have two small dogs and my wife, I just start like sobbing. Like I keep reading like anything involving like the Rainbow Bridge or anything like that. Oh my God, I just crumble. And my wife will come downstairs and she'll be like, "Why are you crying?" I'm like, I just read about a sad dog thing. And
yeah,
need a minute, you know, and that's all it takes. So, you know, when I saw that message from Mike, it's just,
yeah, it was horrible.
It just sends it right in the gut, you know. It just sucks.
I told him when he texted us, I said, you know, my heart's breaking for you right now because I know exactly what you're going through. And I wish there were magical words you could tell someone that would make it better, but you just can't. And it's just Dennis pops in. He had to put his beagle down in November, cried more than he did when his own mother died. I get it. I had to bury both my parents. And it never affected me. I think because with people, they can say to you over the years, like, "Hey, if I get to the certain point, blah, blah, blah," and all that. With animals, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just harder. I don't know why, but it is.
Well, it's complicated. People are complicated, you know. And I think that because, especially people we care very, very much about, we often have very complicated emotions about. And very interwoven relationships with. And it's easier to mourn and process that, especially when you have so many years with those people. Whereas with pets, you know, they're just so innocent, you know, and because they're so innocent and their relationship is so simple, and they basically live just to please you. Well, except for some cats. Some cats are just like, they live for one person, you know, but not anybody else.
Yeah.
There's some lizards out there. I guess, you know, there's somebody with a pet lizard who basically will just eat them.
Well, but we as humans that can think a little bit more in depth, we project so much onto our animals.
Right.
Right.
Whether they're like, we treat them like best friends. We treat them like therapists. You know, we treat them like people that are, you can have a much more intimate conversation with your dog or your cat than you can some people, just because, you know, you're projecting onto them.
If my cat could write a book about me, I first off, God, I hope he never does. But if he could, it would be, people would be like, "Well, that Greg dude, he's crazier than we ever gave him credit for." But yeah, it's just the animal. I hate calling them pets even, because it seems, I don't know, reductive or something, but the animal-person relationship is just not, like Andy said, it's not complicated. And it's just like a pure, and Jeremy brought it up, animals love unconditionally, and that's true. My cat doesn't care that I'm an asshole. He couldn't give a shit. He's like, "Whatever, dude." You know, and anyway, but I don't want to belabor it, but just to Mike, our hearts go out to you, man. It's horrible. And I honestly, at first thought, we should even do a show tonight. Would you just come on, say what happened to Mike, and go, we're going to, in solidarity, we're just going to shut it down, and then we'll be back next week. But I don't know if that's what he would want. I don't know what the right thing to do is or if there's a right thing.
Yeah. Mike told us to go on, and so
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't necessarily need to go the whole distance or whatever tonight, but I mean, I don't know. I felt like it was, he wanted us to come on, so we should do something, you know. Like I said, we don't have a ton to talk about, but
JJ Watt found a new home.
Yeah, he's out of his whatever.
Out of the blue, right? Was that even in the rumor mill?
His former defensive coordinator or something?
Yeah,
got a positional coach.
Some sort of positional coach. Yeah.
So there's some connection there.
And DeAndre Hopkins is there, I guess. I mean, he is there, but I guess that's part of it too.
There's some picture that what's the quarterback name for Arizona killing me right now? Can't remember.
Kyler Murray.
Murray tweeted a picture of him and TJ and JJ Watt when probably like what eight years ago or something. They were at some like promotion or some kind of I can't remember what it was for, but like they had met up a long time ago and they had this kind of random picture and now they're teammates. So so he's out in Arizona. It was kind of interesting the way he broke the news because he said, source, me. And he's doing like squats with a ski cap on in a, you know, in the desert.
I think that was a reference to, there was somebody that was calling themselves KJ Watt on Peloton.
Oh, Jesus.
That was like dropping all these hints as to where JJ Watt might actually sign. And so I think that was like an inside joke sort of thing that if you knew that there was a lot more like drama being where he was being reported to go, that he's like, you know, you don't have to listen to anybody else. I'm the source. I'm going to Arizona.
Here's a quick question for you guys. If all three of us, would you have wanted JJ Watt? And I mean, obviously in his peak, everybody does, but today's JJ Watt for the money he's asking, would you want him on the Bears or the Rams or the Browns? Taking just adding the whole totality of what he's done up to this point, was he a good fit for any of our teams?
Yes.
See, not for the Bears, I don't think, but maybe the Rams, maybe.
Yeah, I think the Rams is a team that's trying to win a Super Bowl. You know, you get that old veteran in the room that hasn't got one, and that whole idea. He's certainly not what he was.
Well, that's what I mean. I guess you got to include his locker room presence and all that, but I mean, just from a pure talent standpoint. Because I know Browns fans are devastated that he didn't sign with the Browns. I'm like, I don't know if that's the worst thing.
No, but like, I think he could have worked very well with the Rams. Because like, you imagine that,
the amount
of attention that Aaron Donald, you know, takes every single game. Every single guy that they brought in, you know, whether it's Dexter Fowler, whether it's who was it that had a big year? Corey Littleton had a big year before going to the Raiders. Where these guys come in and Aaron Donald still gets his numbers, but because he's taking up so much real estate so much of the time, everybody else gets that little bit of an extra opportunity to shine.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seemed like in the past couple seasons that Watt had spent a little bit more time on the edge than he had on the inside. So, you know, he wouldn't have been the same, but he certainly would have made an impact that I would. Because even I think of guys that the Rams have brought in on that sort of last leg, like Clay Matthews Jr.
Yeah.
He came in and most people thought like, oh, what are they doing? He's too old. He's not going to be nearly as effective. What a waste of money. And then he had like one of the best years of the last 5 years of his career. And it was just like, yeah, because Aaron Donald takes up so much oxygen and,
right,
and game planning that you can let these other guys get their shots when they need to. So I saw him being connected to the Rams early, but it seemed that I don't know what side wasn't pursuing it, but it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of there. And so the connection kind of went away.
Well, see, like with the Browns, it would have been great to team him with Myles Garrett, one on each end.
Sure.
And then you just kind of, Aaron Donald's just in a different league. He's playing like defensive line, like Wayne Gretzky played hockey basically. But the thing that concerned me about bringing J.J. Watt to the Browns was the salary. It was just a lot of money for a guy. What's he? I don't know how old he is, but he's got an injury history. And I'm not taking the thing away from J.J. Watt. I'm just thinking that if you're a young and up-and-coming team like the Browns, you could probably split that cap money up and address bigger issues that you have. And the defensive line would have been incredible with him, but that wasn't your issue last year. It was your really your linebackers and your secondary. So I'm not happy that he didn't sign with the Browns, but I'm not heartbroken either that he didn't, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. No, I get that. His durability is just so – you know you're not going to get 16 games out of him.
Right.
That's and yeah. While he's still good, I part of me kind of wondered in the back of my mind if he went to Arizona just to try and channel the Wisconsin uniform energy again. You know, see if he can perform again in red and white. I don't know. But
hopefully he can make those uniforms look as good as Wisconsin's do. Good Lord.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Because it's – people are like, oh, he's reuniting with DeAndre Hopkins. It's like, but they don't play on the same side of the ball. Like,
it's not like Hopkins is going to get open more because J.J. Watt's there.
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah. And I am kind of surprised at how much money he's getting. Two years, $31 million, $23 million guaranteed.
Well,
because you're right, the injury things, he could rip his pec again, you know, tomorrow, and be done. Or how many knee surgeries has this guy had? I just that is a lot of money for a guy that's clearly like at the end of it all. But
I think that if you take a couple million-dollar flyer on him with a very incentive laden deal, sure. But yeah, it's just it's, like you said, it's a lot of money for a guy that. If he's going to be – if he can play a full season and be 85% of what he used to be, that's a – you know, that's going to be great. But I just don't know.
And the Cardinals are going to be competitive. They're – you know, they're going to be right there for a playoff spot. But it now that I think about the money a little bit more, it definitely seems like he went to the place that could fit him in their budget more than
right.
He went to the place to try to win a title.
Who was the other defensive lineman they have that's really good? He's led the league in sacks since his rookie year or whatever. Total sacks, not like every year, but I can't think of his name. Yeah. He's kind of up there in years a little bit to himself now, but he's pretty good. It's not Chandler, is it? Is that what I'm thinking of? Anyway, they've got another guy that's pretty good. He's a sack leader and all that. I can't think of his name now, but who knows?
I feel like the name like Buckner comes to mind, but I don't think that's it.
Zach will find it. He's the reporter.
Yeah, I'll let him scour. But so what is interesting is that he can't wear 99 on the Cardinals. 99 is currently retired for Chicago Cardinal Marshall Goldberg. I don't know who that is. But I'm assuming he's somebody because Cardinals are the oldest.
Yeah.
Are they the oldest football team, I think?
See, here's where we need Mike. Mike actually knows quite a bit about the Chicago Cardinals, but I'm pretty sure that's correct, yeah.
So it's interesting. Michael Goldberg was 99. He played running back and fullback. That's interesting. Anyway, go ahead, Zach.
So your defensive sack leaders for the Cardinals last year, the top four were all linebackers. Hassan Reddick with 12.5. Dennis Gardeck, 7. Marcus Golden, Devin Kennard. Are you thinking of Calais Campbell?
No, there's a guy that, he hasn't led the league in sacks, but he's got the most sacks in the NFL.
Chandler Jones?
That's him, yeah.
He had one sack last year.
Okay, well, again, it was a cumulative thing, every year thing, but yeah. Because I read something where they were excited about him playing with J.J. Watt, and I thought, well, they're both like 10-year veterans. I don't know if you're going to get that much out of them.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2012. Jeez.
Yeah.
I thought he was a Patriot.
He was, I believe.
Okay.
His career. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing that J.J. Watt will be able to convince the Cardinals. Because, I mean, Marshall Goldberg, whoever he was, no offense to him or his legacy, but, I mean – you know, the other side of this coin is that, you know, like I mentioned before the show started, all these horrible mock-ups are rotating about Russell Wilson in a Bears uniform, and which is bad enough as it is. But the number three has been retired for a very long time by the Bears. Bronco Nagurski wore number three. And I don't know.
There's no way that you would wear number three.
Hell no. It insults me. To see these pictures, it's like, I mean, I get it. I don't even know the hell this
design intern, but you know, they don't know.
I know, but
I just can't imagine. I mean, What was I going to say? I forgot.
It's easier for the graphic design intern to Photoshop a 3 than to like make up a number that he would wear.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. So he had Nagurski with number 3. He was a running back, right? Fullback, something like that?
Yeah, he played both sides, yeah.
You had the guy from the Cardinals, number 99. I think the NFL should do like college does and just let the numbers be what they are, because I get the biggest kick out of watching a college game and seeing a defensive lineman wearing like number 7. Or, you know what I mean? So I think it's cool that but we'll never see it again because they're not going to do that. But I think it would be great if they did.
Yeah, no, I completely do not advocate for that. Here's one of the worst mock-ups I've seen, by the way, Greg. You want to show this?
Oh, Lord.
Somebody put about 10 minutes of work into getting this one.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's wearing a Bills jersey with bear stripes on it.
They screwed up all the color green.
No, that's from a Schefter tweet.
Right.
They have like, he was in the Bears, the Cowboys, the Raiders, and the Saints. And it's all just like,
I don't know,
clearly somebody else's body plastered onto his head and arms.
But that's one of the better ones I guess I've seen. This
3 is too small, isn't it?
I guess.
It's not positioned right either. See, they shouldn't put this stuff out there for people like us to go over because we're just going to tear it to pieces.
I know.
Well, I'm also just curious how much Russell Wilson is actually available or not. Because I know that rumor got put out there, but it doesn't seem right.
I just don't know why the hell he mentioned, because he would waive his no trade clause for 4 teams. The Bears were one of those teams. And because the Bears were simply on the list, Bears fans started freaking out. Because, oh my God, Russell Wilson could come. And now it's this
holy
whole
shit, we got picked for something. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's just people just don't. And now there's, you know, Alex Smith is looking like he's going to be released, and he's 36, and he's still
with one leg.
Know. Yeah, I mean, Alex Smith, you know, in any different situation, sure, but I don't know. I have no excitement for the Bears at all, and I just don't care right now. I'm so footballed out completely.
Yeah.
It's March 1st. You'll delude yourself into thinking, oh, well, maybe by December.
Yeah, you know, but that's a long way away. You know, I'm looking forward to just little baseball coming back here soon a little bit. And I know it's not fair to, because I'm excited with all the vaccines rolling out and stuff. Johnson & Johnson's supposed to be coming out soon. I think we need people at sports games. I'm sorry. We need to get some fans back in the stadiums because this.
I watched the spring. God, I can't believe I'm about to admit this, especially after I went on the boards and said I'm completely over baseball. But
no, you do this every year.
But there's not a hell of a lot on TV at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, boys. It's just the way it is. And I'm flipping through the channels, and it was the I don't even remember now. Angels White Sox, and they actually had. I mean, it was enough of a crowd where you went, okay, it doesn't look weird. And that felt so good just to see that and just to go, okay, it doesn't look like just, you know, one of my old rec league softball games. There's not a single soul in the stands.
I think they're letting in maybe 2,000 for Angel spring training games.
That's a lot for a spring training game, isn't it?
Maybe it's only like 1,500. It's a small number. But like I find these spring training games, because I didn't realize they were doing this, because when it comes to baseball, it's the one sport that my grandmother like actually pays attention to, and so she called me because a friend of hers that's an Angel season ticket holder was like saying that she was watching the game and all of a sudden the team just came off the field and they changed innings for no reason. I guess spring training is being taken like less seriously than normal.
Wow.
Like they're cutting out, like the game the Angels and Giants played for their opener on Sunday was 7 innings.
Yeah.
And before the game today against the White Sox, the Angels said that it's only going to be a 5-inning game. And it's like, I understand, like, I guess I don't understand why we didn't do this before, I guess, but it's just so weird to think that, like, yeah, we're just going to go out there and play a few innings and it doesn't really matter. It's like, we always knew that, but to just say, yeah, we're not going to play a 9-inning spring training game anymore is kind of odd in a way.
I, you know what, though? I've been to spring training 3 times in my life now. And every time I went to a game after the 3rd inning, I couldn't care less.
Sure. Once they get like the 76s and 83s out of the roster.
The number 87s out on the mound, it's time to go home. So I don't think it would bother the fans that much. As long as, but of course, that's not going to happen either. The price is being adjusted accordingly. For the game, if you're only going to get 5 innings, you should only pay for 5 innings. But we know that's not going to happen either. But I'm with Andy. We just need to have fans back in the stands. And I'm not saying a full house, but we need something here.
Yeah. It's just so hard to – I mean, I think it's also just an extension of me just being so over the – not necessarily over the pandemic, but I mean just like I need – I feel like fans playing in empty stadiums and stuff, it's just, it just doesn't work for me. I need that excitement, that noise, that like I can't deal with the piped in crowd crap anymore.
Well, what it sounds like across the country, I would think that by the time baseball season actually starts, that California might just be the only state that it doesn't have people at this point. Because even New York is letting people into the indoor facilities.
So. Well, I mean, you know, it depends on – I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't believe it because these are stats that are available to everybody. But it looks like cases have really plummeted since the first of the year, where it's really coming down the other side of the hill fast. And you hope that's like, okay, that's twice now, and you've got all these people that have had it. You're kind of running out of victims at this point. You add the vaccine into the mix, and hopefully, God willing, we're getting towards the end of this thing, I hope. And
well, the idea, the goal, I suppose, is to get to where you have vaccinations available for anyone who wants it, anyone,
yeah,
to where they can just go and get it, and you have, if people want to not get it, that's their right.
Yeah,
it's a foolish decision, but it is
their body, their choice.
Right.
You know?
And I mean, as long as essentially enough people get the vaccine one way or another, because I think the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, it's one shot. It doesn't necessarily stop you from getting it, but it stops you from being hospitalized. Essentially, you just kind of feel like crap for a few days.
Yeah.
I think
that's what all three of them are. Well, I'd also read an article, I forget where I saw this at, that the Pfizer vaccine right now, they're saying that it's 93% effective after the first shot and 94% effective after the second, which kind of renders the second shot almost pointless. Right. Unless you're really worried about that extra 1%, which me being the hypochondriac I am, would be worried about that extra 1%. But a lot of people, they're thinking that if somehow, if they can, you know, back this up with real data, that you've doubled the amount of Pfizer vaccines available just like that, if that's the case, which would be great too. But yeah. To the people that don't want to get it, I suppose I understand, and that's up to you. But okay, you know,
yeah. I mean,
but it's like Andy was just saying that, like, now that we're gonna have three different varieties on the market and them all producing much much more by the time, it's not gonna happen overnight. But it seems like by June, it will be available to anybody that wants it for the most part. Maybe July. And I think what you said too is right, Greg, where you've had people that have had it, especially with the big surge we had, you have a large section that have had it. You're getting even more people day by day that are getting the vaccine. And then you have everybody else that's been playing by the rules the whole time and
right.
have been trying to be as safe as possible since then. So I think we are getting to a point where the number's going to go down, or at the very least level out at a low number at a certain point. And then we just have to adjust. And, you know, we've made a lot of adjustments over. I mean, you think about it. It was a year ago yesterday, technically. It was February 29th. A year ago yesterday was the first death of COVID in the United States, recorded COVID death in the United States.
Wow.
And
we got damn busy after that, didn't we?
Right. And next week, next Friday, March 12th, will be the one-year anniversary of the last major sporting event before the shutdown.
The Rudy Gobert game.
Right. Next week is Rudy Gobert week. So we've been living in this for 51 weeks. And we've all certainly made many changes to our lives, seen many things happen in our social circles, our sports circles, or, you know, what, name it. There's nothing that has not been touched by this. And I think that we're all getting to a better spot. I think, cross my fingers, knock on wood and all that, but it seems like we're all getting even an ounce smarter about all this in the last couple months. So who knows? But I can't wait. Next Friday will be when I go to cover a high school football game in March. I'll be covering a high school football
game. What the hell?
And
USHFL.
It will be not counting the cross country meet that I went to the other week. It'll be the first real sporting event that I've been to in over a year. And that's just so odd. And it's going to be weird to kind of treat it like, oh, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take my stats. And no, it's going to be super weird. I think we've all lost our muscle memory when it comes to like doing that stuff. Because here in California, everything was recently approved where all these sports are starting to come back. And I know that I'm having trouble just like realigning myself to be like, okay, who do I talk to? What do I need to do? How does my life normally work? Because I don't remember anymore. So
I don't know that. Wow. You know, because it's funny. There was Florida's, you know, I'm a big NASCAR fan, as everybody knows, but the first three races of the year have been within 3 hours of me. And Daytona 500, I thought, okay, they're letting way too many people in and the tickets are going to be really expensive. I don't want to. And they raced at Daytona last week, and I thought, well, maybe, but I chickened out. Then they were in Homestead yesterday, which is about 4 hours from here, and I'm here by myself, and I thought, well, I can just hop in the car and go to the race. And I, again, chickened out. I thought, I don't want to. Yeah. And so I don't know, you know, even when we get back to it, I can't be the only person that feels this way, but where you're going to be like, am I comfortable doing this yet? You know what I mean? Where you're ready to go sit in a big crowd of people and all that. So I'm going to be curious to see how that plays out. I think a lot of people will just storm right back in the first chance they get. But
I won't lie, I've been tempted to drive over to Arizona to just go see, you know, a hockey game or a baseball game. And, you know, my better judgment kind of, or my schedule really kind of bears it on the other end where you shouldn't do that. But it's tempting, you know.
I guess to me, too, like a NASCAR race, you guys have never been to a track, I'm sure, but it's monstrous. I mean, it's 80,000 people, but it's not like a stadium where you've got to put it in X amount of space. You've got a mile and a half track to work with. So spacing wouldn't have been a problem. It just, to me, didn't feel right yet. And I'm just curious to see. But there were people there. I mean, it was probably a quarter full, I guess. Hmm. Everybody spaced out and stuff. But I don't know. I imagine we're probably pretty safe, but I'm still a little nervous about it. Hell, I get nervous walking into the grocery store if there's more than 30 people in there.
Yeah, it's going to take I've had the Pfizer vaccine, the first dose. I'm getting the next.
Oh, you did?
How'd you manage that?
I called. I mean, it doesn't hurt that I have diabetes, and you're
diabetic. That's right. Yeah.
And the BMI, my BMI is like the right number, I guess. So, but the thing is, so I called, and all I did was just called my local coronavirus healthcare thing, and was just like, hey, I just want some more information about this, and get antsy or whatever. And they're like, well, are you an essential worker? And yeah, I mean, I'm essential in some regards, but I wouldn't say I'm an according to Hoyle essential worker by news. But I just kind of said, yeah, I figured they'd ask some follow up questions, but they're like, all right, how's Friday work? And I was like, shit, all right, I'm there. But I mean, either way, I fall into the category of what's being done right now. And actually, when I got in there, it was actually really encouraging because it's in my area, it's a former, you ever heard of Gordman's? It's a department store. It's a huge department store. And they had it completely outfitted so they could cycle through hundreds and hundreds of people at a time. So that was really encouraging.
Good. Yeah.
But the funny thing was, there's still all this Gordman's shit everywhere. So there's signs like, be the bold businesswoman everywhere and stuff like that. But yeah, the shot went fine. And the second one is supposed to be the one that knocks you on your ass, makes you kind of ill. So I'm looking forward to that in a couple weeks or so. But
yeah, you're young. You should be okay.
Yeah, you know, it's more and more people, family wise and stuff, are getting it. But I think just like we said, you just have to make it available for all, and then from there you can pretty much say, all right, folks, get it. If you don't get it, whatever. But we need it. There's no excuses. You know, like it's out there for you. Go get it.
Not only that, but even after we've all been after the whole thing is over, COVID's not going anywhere. It's going to be there.
Yeah, and there are adaptations, and there are testing. There's testing being done with a third shot with Pfizer, and there's one of those things to where they're not certain if there will be required further boosters along the way. But either way, if we can get it to a point to where the bulk of the population, even if you're just getting a little sick every now and then, that's a whole lot more manageable. Spreading a really severe illness everywhere, you know.
Well, you know, the old people are always going to be susceptible to a lot of things. So that's just something that we've, I hope, have learned the lesson from this time around to go, okay, next time, or, you know, from going forward with this, we know we have to be extremely careful during the, this is going to become seasonal like the flu is, my guess. And there, you know, you're going to have to be very careful about during the winter and this and that, but, you know, flu and everything is dangerous too. I mean, that's the thing with old people. And I don't think people understand this. Everything's dangerous to them. Right. Any disease. This one was particularly virulent because it just was, we'd never had it before. And
yeah, it's a novel virus.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I would go, I think I already told the story on the show where we had just gotten here and we were going over to Publix, like after I'd been here for 4 days. And our front lady's like, would you like a COVID vaccine? And just like to anybody, I'm like, I do. And I went running over there and you're like, you're not old enough. You don't live here, blah, blah, blah. Or I would have had it already. I mean, I'm good to go. I'm not one of those. I'm not going to take it because of Bill Gates and all that nonsense. But the more people we get, the better. The
vaccine doesn't catch on fire.
Well, that'd be kind of cool if it did. But, you know, there's another thing going. We don't want to turn into like the COVID-19 show or the vaccination show, but there's this thing going around too where, you know, so-and-so got the vaccine and died. Well, living with a medical professional, I understand this. You know, when you've got a vaccine, like the flu vaccine probably kills people every year too. You just don't hear about it. But this one, there's so much focus on it. And what they're doing is they're going, you know, 39 people have died out of how many have been vaccinated worldwide so far? Do we even know?
I mean,
it's got to be in the hundreds of millions.
No idea.
Many. At least 100 million, right?
The point is that you're making that is, yeah, it's a very, 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 very minuscule
right
amount.
But you've got.
And yes, it'll catch a headline when it happens, especially when, like, down here, it's like, well, he was a doctor. He was administering it. He got his second shot and then he died. It's just like, oh, okay. I mean, you want to present it that way, sure, but like.
But the thing is, if you get a vaccination for anything, read the fine print. They all can kill you. All of them.
Well, I mean, just driving. Driving yeah. in a car. You know, I mean.
Yeah, but, you know, but I mean, they're acting like this one's got such a higher risk factor. Maybe it does a little bit because it's got such a shorter, you know, track record to work with. But this is not unusual. I mean, it's horrible. Don't get me wrong. But it's not out of the ordinary.
Like, anybody should know from watching as many sports as we do, the amount of medicine commercials that are on there, how, you know, 2/3 of the ad is reading the fine print.
Yeah.
It's just like, don't take this if you're allergic to this. Don't do this if the blah, blah, blah. It may result in vomiting, diarrhea, or death. It's just like, yep.
Well, I have psoriatic arthritis, and there's this drug out for it that supposedly really helps. Like, you'll get 50% better in 6 weeks. And then they list off all the things that could happen. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm good with just having the condition. Thanks. I'm not going to, you know, suppress my immune system and get sick all the time and all this other bullshit. But yeah, but the point I'm making is that the number of deaths we've had compared to the number of people that have gotten the vaccine, it's honestly, and I hate to, you know, I don't want to discount anybody's death from this, but it's statistically kind of irrelevant. I mean, it isn't, but it is, you know? If you've had 100 million at bats and you struck out 39 times, that's not going to change your batting average very much. That's what I'm saying.
I guess they're looking at right around about 5 to 7 million people per day are starting to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the United States is up to 20 million right now, which is surprisingly low. But this is from CNN, so I could be totally misreading this graph. But thankfully, the Isle of Man is 8.6% totally vaccinated. So Isle of Man. Good. Well done.
Yeah. Good for you, Isle of Man.
Right. Dennis says the side effects or the vaccine is actually worse when you're young because of your immune system strength. That's interesting. But yeah, anyway, so but to get back to the original point, it will be great to have fans back in the stands. I agree, Andy. That's what we need. Makes sports much more interesting to watch.
Well, it's just a human experience, you know, and I think that I'm just at a point now to where I'm kind of an introvert and I get very peopled out very easily. But like even now I'm just ready to be around people again. I need some humanity, some interaction, crowd reactions again. So
yeah. You know, we were talking earlier how like you watch any of those dog videos and that'll just get you, you know, make you really sad. You know what makes me cry nowadays is watching just highlights of a big sporting event, like a huge highlight, and just the roar of a crowd when something happens.
Oh yeah.
It's just like, oh man, you remember that?
Dude, I watched the two, I can't remember what year it was, the two Toronto Blue Jays. One of them was, I think, Encarnacion home run. And, of course, the bat flip. I can't remember who did it.
Jose Bautista.
Bautista bat flip where he hits the home run and the fucking home run horn goes off like 1 second after he hits it because the guy knew it was gone and the whole building's fucking shaking.
That, wow.
There's something about that Bautista home run or just home runs in like clutch home runs in Toronto that just make my fucking this body shake where it's like, yeah, God, this is fucking awesome.
Well, you know, Mike said that they should make a 30 for 30 of that 45 minutes of that Rangers Blue Jays game where Bautista. I think he's right. Absolutely that wild. If you remember that game,
yes,
that just those like inning and a half or whatever it was. There's a whole documentary just on that. It was amazing. But yeah, that was one of the greatest home runs. And I know people are like, oh, he was such a showboat. And like, it was like, no, they'd gotten a bullshit run in the top of the first or the top of the inning. And he was basically, he hit the home run. He's like, you know, fuck you. There's your shit run. This is how you do it. I mean, that's the way I took it.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most awesome baseball moments ever. It was fuck so it. Great.
I'm pulling it up because it's fucking
awesome. Yeah, we got to see it now. Shit. You got to now, right?
Yeah. And fuck the Rangers, really.
Yeah, well, right. Come on. You know what? Learn how to hold a fucking lead against the Cardinals. We're not having this conversation. Yeah, all right.
I'm getting it set here. Hold on.
We'll do the whole show tonight on like great crowd reactions. That'll be fun. That's
true. Why the hell not?
And we got to get to Pete Weber too, Andy. Don't let me forget that.
Oh shit! Yeah. All right. Yeah. No problem. So here we go.
Here we go. Get ready, guys. Here we go. Oh God.
Look at all the shit flying everywhere. People throwing trash and popcorn.
Look at this. Look. Fuck off.
Fuck you.
Look at the camera, the shaking.
Yeah.
I love watching the crowd, like, stand up. You can see him stand up as he hits it, like, in the background. They all, like, stand up because they know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just, that's like a pro wrestling, like, huge moment crowd where you just lose your shit. Like, that doesn't happen very often. Like, I don't know, man. That even just watching that now, just... There's something about the hesitation after he hits it, and then he just throws the bat. Like, that shit's cool. Like, that's great. I love that shit. Well, anybody who's stick in the mud about the bat flipping, kiss my ass, because it's awesome.
No, that was incredible. That was the best bat flip ever. And then, of course, I think, was it later in the series or before that, he was on the receiving end of the best punch ever thrown in a baseball brawl in history. When, what was the guy's name?
Rognan Odor.
Right, just decked his ass. But so what? You know, it's all part of the thing. Chaos Blast chimes in here with, you know what? I was on the losing end of that game 7, but that was pretty fucking awesome too. I got to be honest. That World Series game 7.
Strangely enough, you know, I didn't see the end of that game because I was in a car. I listened to the end of the game. Did I not tell you guys this?
No.
Okay, so
you experienced the Cubs finally breaking the World Series drought in the car.
Yeah, so here's how it went. So you know, I'm with my parents watching the game. All this big, this huge Cubs fans, and who was the guy who hit the game tying home run late in the game? The ball didn't really hit the camera.
Javi Baez?
No. It's the Indians.
Indians. Oh, shit. No. It was one of those late season signings they had. I can't even think of his name now. You think I'd know it right at the top of my head.
Killing me. But so this guy comes up and he blasts a home run right to the corner. Cleveland's going apeshit. LeBron's in the stands flexing like he gives a fuck.
Yeah, let me stop you right there for a second. Fuck that guy, and I'll tell you why. The whole time he was going to St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron, when he played for the Cavs, he was a Yankees and Cowboys fan. He can kiss my fucking ass. Simple as that. Go ahead. Continue with your story.
Rajai Davis. That's who it was.
Yeah, Rajai Davis. That's it. Yep.
So he hits this home run. Place is going nuts. And, I mean, everyone in my family just pits in their stomach just feeling sick. Like, here we go. This is the ultimate heartbreak. They're going to crush us right here. And so by the time the ninth rolls around, we're all stressed out to the point to where we're just pacing the room. It starts to rain, and I figure, well, shit, it's going to be like, you know, 30, 40-minute rain delay. I'm just going to head home, and it's like a 45-minute drive home.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't want to be stuck because I lived an hour away. I didn't want to be stuck there overnight or leaving really late at night. So I just got in the car, and I'm driving off. And all of a sudden, I'm like stuck in no man's land, 20 minutes between home and my parents' house. So it's like, I can't turn around now. I just got to keep going to listen to the game. Thankfully, I had the radio going. And I just listened to the bottom of the ninth in my car, like probably 20 yards from my apartment at the time, and lost my shit. So, but yeah, that was, it was kind of a cool memory. And I called my parents right away and talked to them, but I didn't see it. The Cubs won a fucking World Series the first time in 100 years and I didn't see it, but.
Yeah, but that's almost a better story, that one, than if you just been at somebody's house, you know?
Sure. No, yeah, I know.
It's a good story, but I would have loved to have actually, you know, seen it.
It would have been right. It would have been cool. I mean, you know, I got to experience it one way or the other. So,
yeah. No, that I know. See, that with us, with the Indians, it was, you know, I think Chapman had come in at that point, and it was you're like, oh, man, this is it. You know, okay, let's just get through these last outs and be done with this thing. And then all of a sudden, Roger Davis hits the home run. You're like, oh my God, there's hope, you know. And after blowing a 3-1 lead and all that, and you're like, oh my God. And then the rain delay came.
No, it's the only way a World Series between those two franchises could go, right?
Where I'm honestly kind of surprised it's not still going.
It's just a duel of like the oh no's setting in for everybody.
Yeah. Well, here's the Davis home run. The crowd reaction was pretty kick ass. I mean, I can say that now in retrospect because the Cubs won the series, but the moment, bottom of the eighth, looks like it's a 2-2 count, and then he does this and he hits it right to the camera. Pretty cool moment. Piece of shit. Look at this. The camera right there, like, hits the camera.
Of all people, Roger Davis.
And even Joe Buck is like jacked. Like,
yeah.
That's, you know, that's not nothing. Cleveland going crazy.
Well, my girlfriend, because she doesn't give a shit about this stuff, which probably makes her a better person than any of us, but she went to bed, and, I was trying to stay quiet. He hit that home run. I'm like, fuck it. I'm yelling and screaming and jumping up and down, woke up the whole damn house. So, yeah, but that was a great moment. It didn't work out for us, but still, what a cool thing to see, though. You know, just to be able to say you were there to see it was pretty cool. But, yeah. We need more of that back at games.
Is there a moment you remember from years gone by where you've actually like just lost your mind in your living room to a huge occurrence? Like what one comes to mind?
1986 Browns Jets playoff game, double overtime, and the Browns were down 20-10 with 4 minutes left, and somehow or another, Bernie Kosar led them back to tie the game in regulation. And at that point, and this is going to make me sound like a really shallow asshole, but I don't care. I was praying. I'm like, God, if you let them tie this game, I will go to church next Sunday, which is something I just don't do. And they tied the game. I'm like, okay, I've got to go to church next Sunday. Then I'm like, if you let them win, I'll go 2 weeks in a row. And they won. But, yeah, I mean, that was just, I can't even describe it. You just had to be there. But, I mean, I was screaming, yelling, happy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was an amazing, amazing experience. Still sticks to me to this day.
Yeah. Sure. They got the whole game on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the ones that stick out for me are the Ducks. When the Ducks won the Cup, it was fairly like dominant, so there wasn't like a whole lot of that. There was only one game when they beat the Red Wings in overtime, which was kind of just crazy. But I, when it comes to like reactions, and my story is kind of similar to yours, Andy, was the Ducks in the playoffs, what was it, God, 4 or 5 years ago now, they played Edmonton. They were down 3 goals with 3 minutes left. And it was on a Friday, and I was covering a high school track meet because it was the league finals for this track league. And it's like, I had to be there. And if it was anything less than a league final, I would have not gone. And so I just would have gone to the stupid game. But I didn't. And because it was like a game five or game six, and if the Ducks had lost, it would have been over. So I had to mute everything on my phone. I deleted the ESPN app. I had to keep Twitter. I had to keep Twitter on because I needed it for my job. But I made sure to mute all Ducks related accounts. I deleted ESPN from my phone, kept my phone in my pocket, unless to tweet, and then I would tweet, wouldn't look at anything else, and just put it back in my pocket. And so I come home, I start watching the game. They're down 3-0. It's like, oh, well, damn. Well, that sucks. And then, well, they score one. It's like, oh, well, that's nice. You know, a little fight. And they score again. And it's like, wait, what the fuck? Holy shit. This is, we have like a minute and a half. They couldn't possibly do. And then sure enough, sure as hell, they score. It's like, holy shit. And then I'm sitting there because the game has gone, now that we're like where we are in the game, I or not even that, I think it was like midway through the third period before the goal started happening. My family wasn't home yet. And so I was like, something's up. Something's going on and I don't know what it is. And so they come back to score and then they win in double overtime. And finally, my family came home right after the double OT. And I was just like, ah, I can't believe I missed this shit. Because when it comes to like big games in Ducks history, I've been to all of them except that one. That is the one that just like I didn't get to go because I had to do my job. The one that sticks out from childhood is when the Angels beat the Giants in 2002. The game six where they come from behind and
yeah, that was a cool game.
Garrett Anderson clears the base, just like ugh. So Scott Spezio's home run into the right corner. The look on Barry Bonds' dumb face.
I think it was a lot of fun for me too. I don't know if I was as invested in it as I like with the Browns or the Indians over the years, but that sweep the Jackets had of the Lightning was that 2 years ago now, right? Almost.
Yeah.
We still had fans, so it was what the 2018-2019 season. That was fun. I mean, that was just like when the two home games and just, you know, especially I think it was game four, they finished them off and the crowd was just, you know, way into it. That was a blast too. That was a lot of fun. Great,
I love those games like that to where it's, you know, it's just a playoff game, but you know it means something.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't give a fuck if they even make it to the title game. They just want their one. You know, just give us this.
Yep.
Oh. Yep.
Yeah. The one that comes to mind I'll forever hang on to is the two goals in 17 seconds against Boston in 2013. Oh my God. That was I'm so glad I have that recorded. I have the audio of that. And it's just me losing my shit for I don't know, there was 70 seconds left and yeah, Bickle then Ballin and yeah, that was awesome.
Wait, was that against the Hawks?
Yeah, those Blackhawks Bruins in 2013.
It was against the Bruins.
Yeah, but I
just remember.
Huh?
No.
Back. Oh, there you go. You're back. All right.
The Bruins beat the Leafs. Yeah.
Oh, right. That was
it's not the same.
Yeah.
Thing. This is the Bruins.
Okay.
And the
right.
Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, yeah. I got mixed up for a second. So I'm like,
I remember watching that, and I couldn't believe. Are we like out of sync?
No, your internet's kind of up and on. Yeah, I don't know, Zach. You may need to fix your network or whatever. It's just kind of dropping out.
No, I was thinking of the. Bruins Maple Leafs game where because the Bruins did that to the Leafs too, and that because that was like just the Mike was we were 10 minutes from going on the air with the show. Mike just got like the ultimate gut punch of a sports fan.
Zach's internet is this. We've discussed the Boston Bruins, and now his internet is going.
Yeah, back. I don't know. I don't know who's sending the drones this time.
You'll be right back.
All right.
Okay. But yeah, that was I forgot about that Blackhawks game though. God, that team was so good, man, back in the day. Jesus Christ.
That I lived and died. That 2013 team was like the 2010 team where Kane hit the game winner that nobody could tell went in the thing and went in the net, and people were kind of like Doc Emmer couldn't really tell what was going on. You know, the players were celebrating on the ice. That was cool, but it wasn't the same. But let me see. So there's Zach, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, so what I find happens is once the jumbling starts happening, it gets me on a delay, and then you know what I say, it sounds like I'm on time, but then when I'm speaking to you, it's not. So that's once the jumble starts to go, then you know I have to kind of you know reset. But anyway,
so this is if just to get a brief glimpse here of actually because I told you I had the audio from this, it's. it's the night they won the cup, and it's like only 2 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you guys should hear when I react. So the first one is the tying goal by Bickle, and then shortly thereafter, you can probably figure out when Ballin scores the follow-up goal.
Score! Score, baby! Score! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Holy shit! Holy fucking shit! Oh, my God, my heart is pounding. Holy shit. Oh, my God. I can't even think. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. That was so awesome. All right. All right, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. The 13, guys. Come on. Don't give it up here.
Like, it's just, you know, just pure elation. And it was.
I think that, you know, you can say what you want about the other sports, but nothing beats like winning a hockey game like that. It just nothing beats it.
There's nothing like you could, there's walk off home runs, but something about a game winning hockey goal, man.
It's just amazing.
Especially in a game like that, because I still to this day don't believe the Blackhawks won that game. Because just so it, like, they were down the whole time. It didn't seem like they were getting too much going for them. And then in a blink of an eye, they're tied in the lead. And it, especially with, like, what was it, one minute left? Just like, if you're, I mean, I couldn't imagine being the other team where it's like, hey, we're going to go to game 7 of the Stanley Cup. Isn't this fun? Oh, shit. Oh no.
Well, I think what makes it great with hockey is because you're always kind of on edge from the first opening faceoff. You're constantly, like, you know, on the ride, and when you get that release, I don't know, it's just better to me. And you know, I'm not even like as big a hockey fan as you guys are, but like I said, with the Jackets and the Lightning that year, that was just so much fun, because you just, you know, you're like constantly. Well, you know, anybody that follows hockey knows. I mean, it's just like, you know, you never know what's going to happen when. We've talked about it before, too, where we've seen overtime games end on a goal that was just utter bullshit, to be honest about it. And you just never know. So you're always, like, on edge, especially in OT, because you never know if your team's going to be the one that gets, like, the fuck, how they score that? You know?
So when it comes to, like, hockey games and overtimes and series, Andy, I will never get the years back of my life that Ducks Blackhawks Western Conference Final took from me.
No, especially for me. I mean, they played what? How many overtimes did they go?
They had the. I was there. I was in the building for the triple OT game where Andrew Shaw tried to score with a headbutt.
Yeah, I love hockey.
It was just like,
yeah. Or I love Shaw. Oh, man. Yeah, like that. That was incredibly stressful. That game went till like 1 a.m. my time, and it just kept going. Those were rough. That the Blackhawks and Ducks, those were good series, and I mean,
the Blackhawks Kings series that you had to sit on the other side of too, because I was as emotionally invested in those ones too, because it's like, I do not want these motherfuckers to get anywhere near the Stanley Cup. But
Alec Martinez had a hell of a year, you know. What is Dennis mentioning? This is the 2012 Game 6. I'm assuming this is the penalty that he's discussing. He says the building explodes.
Oh, was it a 5-minute major?
This is the Kings when they won their first cup.
Oh, who gives a shit? No, I'm just kidding.
No, seriously.
So this is just the penalty, I guess.
Was that game six? I thought it was game five.
It says game six. Steve Bernier boarding major penalty game six.
Yeah. They get a boarding, and then the Kings score like 4 goals on the major penalty, and like the game was over before it even started. It was like 5 minutes into the game.
Oh, well, all right, we'll watch a little bit of it here.
So I'm just trying to get the, like, oh, this is just the penalty. So, fuck that. Whatever.
There you go, Dennis.
I thought it was going to be like, this video was 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, that's nice and short, and I couldn't find any. It's like, I don't know. But yeah, So there's something about hockey, man. Because like basketball, like I love watching a good basketball game. Like there's sometimes nothing better than a good basketball game. But like always towards the end, especially if it's close, there's all this stupid ticky-tack foul stuff. Yep. There's always the risk of like of just a game that isn't as fulfilling at the end as like a hockey game. Because with hockey, I love all the like random hypotheses and like mysticism that go into hockey. It's like, well, a one goal lead is fine, but it's not as, if you have a two goal lead, look out, because a one goal lead is in some cases better than if you have a two goal lead, because then, you know,
it sounds stupid. I would much rather be up one goal than two.
Yeah. It's so weird.
When you're up two, you're fine. You're thinking, this ain't no big problem.
Yeah, you relax a little more, I think.
And then you get scored on, and then you're in a haze, and then they score the second one, and then you're
right.
done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you see it in football, too. I mean, like the Browns playoff game. It was like they got out big. I'm like, this is not good. Too much game left, you know? Same idea. Or in baseball, you go out and score eight runs in the first inning. It's like you've lived them way too much time, you know? Hockey's just – I've said it for years. There's nothing better in the world in sports than playoff hockey in overtime, as long as your team's not in it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when your teams are in it, it's just the most stressful.
Oh, my God.
And life is miserable, you know, because it's just every.
Nothing matters more than what is going on the ice at that point.
Yeah. And it just blows my mind that, like, okay, I get it that you don't want to watch, you know, the Red Wings and the Coyotes play in January. Fine, I get that. But why the playoffs aren't like just these ratings juggernauts just blows my mind, because they're usually pretty fucking awesome. I just don't get it.
We'll see. The TV deal's coming up, and it sounds like ESPN is definitely going to be getting a slice of it this time. So.
Yeah.
And Gary Thorne happens to be a free agent. He didn't get re-signed for his Baltimore Orioles duties, so.
Really?
Bring back the NHL on ESPN. Little Gary Thorne, Bill Clement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be all over that.
That would help a lot. I feel like, again, like it's just awareness thing, you know? Because, I mean, with football, it's still king of the world, you know? And it probably will be for God knows how long.
And until five or six guys die on the field and it finally starts coming down the other side. But, yeah.
Even then, you know, people
want probably, yeah, that might actually make it better. I don't know. Or not
cool,
better necessarily, but.
Tune in. Yeah. Chargers Broncos, who will drop dead?
Last week, DeAndre Hopkins was killed by an illegal hit. Let's look to see what happens. You're right. The ratings just go up from there. What am I thinking?
Yeah. But, I don't know.
Ratings have been down across the board, though.
Yeah, I think it's because of what Andy brought up. It's just weird to watch now, you know? Yeah.
Well, I think that people want escapism, and when they turn on the thing and turn on sports and they see non-escapism, they see no fans, you know? It's just not the same. It's an escape in a way because it's sports and it's distracting, but it is not the whole deal. It's like eating multi meal brands of something you really like. You know, like these aren't Honey Nut Cheerios. These are
multi meal Cheerios.
Honey oat rings or whatever. You know, it's not the same.
No, and I know a lot of people wonder, like, oh, you know, it's because of the politics. I'm sure there's, like, people out there that don't watch because of that.
Yeah,
but the driving factor behind the ratings going down is it's just weird. I remember when baseball came back, it was like, oh, it's going to be great. I said, it's going to be the most fucked up thing you've ever seen. There's no one in the stands. It's, like, worse than watching spring training double-A ball or whatever. And it was. So, you know, and I don't know what happened with the NBA. That was a little surprising to me. I didn't think it would be as bad as it was.
Yeah,
but even the NFL fell it this year.
I'm laughing because I was queuing up that Pete Weber video.
I couldn't
remember Pete Weber's name. I've been having a terrible time with names lately, but I couldn't remember Pete Weber's name. So I was like, "Well, I'll just YouTube search. God damn it, yes." First result, and the name of the video is in all caps: Pete Weber. God damn it, I did it. Who do you think you are?
That is, I have to say, that's probably my favorite sports quote. Who do you think you are? I am.
I was amazed at how many different people posted that damn thing on Twitter on its anniversary. I was like, this many people know about Pete Weber? Which kind of just, I mean, I know it, you know, it took on a life of its own, but
yeah,
I was surprised.
Plus, I loved the Sunday afternoon PBA on ESPN. Because I would, as a younger lad, when I was watching my pregame NFL channel of choice was the ESPN Countdown crew, and sometimes you're just sitting there, you're watching it, you're not really paying attention to the clock, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes past when, you know, football starting time, and the PBA comes on, and it's like, oh, bowling, and then you're stuck there for a few minutes, even though football's on a different channel. It's like, well, I could watch bowling. That's fine.
Does anybody – I know that when I was a kid, bowling used to be on ABC, and it was actually a pretty good ratings getter for them. It was surprising. But a lot of people bowl. I don't know if you guys do. I used to when I was a kid. I don't anymore. But
I used to bowl a lot.
Yeah. I think the last time these buddies of mine tucked me into joining a league when I'd first moved back to Ohio from New York, and I thought, yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, the fucking thing started in, like, I forget, you know, maybe September. Mid-June, we're still going on. I'm like, that's the last time I'll ever do that. That's, like, longer than a basketball season, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's too much. You know, I mean, it is. It's fine if you're, like, into it, if you're really, really hard.
It was Friday nights, too. I was like, no, I'm not doing this for fucking 9 months. No way.
I didn't say it's expensive to bowl. Like, me and my wife went last year and a half ago or something, and it was, like, $40-$50, you know? It's like, what the
damn
fuck? Like, I mean, to play like two games, you know, and rent shoes.
Really?
It was yeah, more, I think, because it depends on the day, too. So if you go on like a Tuesday or something, it's not as much. Because it was a Saturday night or something, it's, you know, hot shit.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. But there's no other.
Tuesday night cosmic bowling, man. That's where you got to go for the $20 deals.
All right. Well, here's Pete Weber.
My boy, Pete.
Yeah, I want to hear Greg's story here about Pete Weber.
I got multiple Pete Weber stories, actually.
Well, this is him winning some sort of the championship, whatever, many years ago.
It was a U.S. Open, maybe. I'm not sure.
Here we go.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Damn it, you're right.
Damn it, that's right. I did it. That's five. I did it.
Pete Weber, when this was back in the 80s, the Imperial Lanes in Toledo had one of the PBA tour dates every year. And Pete Weber would hang out at this bar that I hung out at called Mom and Dad's on Airport Highway in Toledo. I don't know if it's even still there anymore. But I remember the first year I was hanging out there and like, hey, Pete Weber's coming in tonight. And I'm like, the bowling guy? And they were all excited about him. Like, I don't get it. He's just, you know, I mean, cool, I guess. But then I found out why. Pete came in and like bought beer for everybody and may or may not have, I'm not going to say whether he did or he didn't, but he may or may not have bought drugs for a certain group of people. And he would play pool. And the funny thing about him is that he's not entirely different from what you saw in that video there. He's not quite that animated, but he was, God, I don't want to say he was an asshole because he wasn't really an asshole, but he was very Pete Weber. But this would happen every year. And like he would come in and you'd drink with him and stuff and play pool. And he would like play pool for money. And I remember he asked me, we were like, because you know, I know you guys have played pool in bars or not, but you wait for the table, you put your money up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I get up and Pete goes, you want to play for money? And I said, yeah, let's play for $500. Because that's what I would do to like, because you know, I don't want to get my head beaten in with a pool cue over $2. I just don't. So I always just like as a joke, like, yeah, let's play for $500. He goes, okay.
Shit.
I'm like, fuck. I said, no, Pete, I'm just kidding. And then he got pissed. No, you said $500. I'm like, dude.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Anyway, so Pete Weber, all 5'2" of him, was like ready to try to fight all 6'3" of me. And it took like five people to calm his ass down and go, look, he was just kidding, Pete. You know, but he was so possibly or possibly not coked up that he just, you know, thought he was the king of the world. And it's like, dude, you're in a dive bar in Toledo, Ohio. You know, come on. But yeah, so that was one of the stories.
He's a bowling champion.
Yeah, well, that was the funny part about it is that people would come in and I don't know, 10 of them would know who he was. And other people were like, who the fuck is this guy? And why is everybody acting all excited to see him? So that was kind of funny too. Like it wasn't like everybody knew who he was, but yeah, he got really mad at me because I made a joke with him one time. There was another time, I forget, he always wanted to fight over pool. And it was like, if you've ever seen him, he's a tiny little dude. But he was always trying to pick fights because I think he was just so possibly coked up or maybe not. It was the 80s. You can draw your own conclusions. But yeah, that's Pete Weber. I mean, and I've, you know, got stories like that. I mean, fighting over pool, but then he'd buy you a beer. He would, you know, talk shit, try to pick up women that I'm like, damn, dude, I mean, I know you're just a bowler, but you can do better than this. Come on now. Anyway.
Based on the one video that I've experienced of him, And of course, you know, the years of seeing him on the PBA or whatever, he definitely does seem like a guy that really he could go somewhere and say, who do you think you are? I am. And like,
oh, yeah.
It's just like, do you realize what you do, right? And you realize how much people actually care about what you do.
Well, that was the funny thing, though, Zach. It was like some people really – it was like you would have thought Wayne Gretzky walked into the bar, you know? And others were like, who gives a shit? You know, oh, you're a bowler? Right. Oh, that's cute. You know, so
– like, if he came in, I'd be excited. I'd be like, oh, my God, that's the who do you are – who do you think you are? I am guy. And – but I wouldn't be like, holy shit, let me bowling play you for beers and whatever. Like, no, I'd be like, all right, I get a picture of you and put it on Instagram?
Two things here. Dennis puts up a couple – good point. $150,000 on cocaine between 1982 and 84. Yeah, and half of it was in that bar in Toledo, okay? I don't know about half of it, but I would tell you that a good chunk of it was. He also says that Pete Weber's listed at 5'7 on Wiki. I know. I'd say more closer to 5'5, maybe 5'6. But yeah, he's a little guy. Good, great bowler. I mean, if you're into bowling, but just a weird cat. And
number five. He did it.
Yeah.
The thing is with bowling, like, you know, I tried watching a few, like, from the last probably 10 years, a few bowling clips and highlights and just full. I like just kind of sit back and watch them bowl. And it's kind of like golf, but I like to watch the recordings, the old stuff. And it's just not the same for me to watch the new stuff. Because, I mean, it's kind of like with poker to where they're all covered in ads, kind of like Pete Weber.
Yeah.
Where every inch of them is covered in different sponsors. But back in – I like watching ones from the early to mid-90s. And I've said this before. But they're just between the mustaches and the like, just, you know, these guys are hideous. There's a lot of pro bowlers that made millions and millions of dollars. Just buttfuck ugly looking people who back in the 90s were bowling gods.
Is it weird to say that maybe bowling got too mainstream for its own good?
Like, a little bit.
But this is what I mean is like, even if it being just a little bit mainstream is too mainstream for it, because now you get like you said, you just get some normal people that have taken the time to like perfectly cultivate the spin on the ball. And it's like they just nail strikes every time. And it's like, that's boring.
And that's – well, the thing is, though, the more I've watched of the bowling stuff, it's actually far more, you know, like with anything, the more you get into it, the more you figure it out. And I mean, yeah, obviously every bowler is going for a perfect game every time. But because of the way they do their lanes and the different types of oil lanes and stuff like that, there's actually a lot of variance and a fair bit of gamesmanship involved that actually, you know, brings out the skill in some of these guys. But it's more of the, like, I associate the bowling scene from the 90s with a lot of my childhood with my one of my relatives was an avid bowler, and we would go to bowling with her a lot. And it was just that whole era. I'd like to see it grainy and shitty quality, like 240p on YouTube, where you just kind of look through the blocky pixels and try to figure out what's happening.
Yeah. It's our version of curling. They need to both have a pitcher of beer just sitting on the table behind them.
Well, I forget, it was at Jim Rome that said any sport that you can play while you're drunk isn't really a sport.
And the highlights need to include the bowling alley CGI animations of like picking up a spare.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we first got electronic scoreboards, like, these are the coolest fucking things ever, man. But, you know, honestly, Dennis, he might actually be 5'7". I may have had a drink or two, and I might have, you know, partaken of, you know, maybe an illegal substance here or there back then. So maybe he's a little taller than I remember him, but he's not a bit taller than 5'7". I promise you that. But so
by the way, just reading here that the deal J.J. Watt signed, this is from John Gambadoro
Arizona guy. Yeah.
Anyway, the deal with the Cardinals was not the most he was offered. The Browns and Colts each offered more money. So
Colts would have been an interesting move for him.
Well, yeah. He's getting on more money to play with Arizona. So, there you go.
All right. Well, yeah. But yeah, but so that, I mean, I, you know, like I said, with Pete Weber, if you want me to tell you about, like, you know, him, well, I guess as he admitted it, yes, him doing cocaine in the bar and drinking and getting drunk and starting fights and, well, you know,
that's what made him, like, you know, in a lot of these like niche sports, it's the characters that always bring in. It's like the Billy, or not Billy Madison, the Happy Gilmore effect of the weird, uncouth, brash personality that like accentuates and spreads knowledge and awareness of kind of what most people interpret as a dull game. And people like Pete, who I think is a wrestling fan and kind of likes to bring that sense of showmanship to bowling, that's probably very attractive to them. They want him just to keep doing that silly bullshit.
I should, in fairness to Pete too, when he first got to the barn, he was still sober. He was a really nice guy. It was, you know, and I think he would admit this now. I think I've seen things with him on YouTube that him and the cocaine, not a great mix, which as it is with most people, but with him in particular, it made him, I don't know. And, you know, he just would get, and then you drink on top of it and Christ, you know, and then you throw in the ego in there and the whole bit. But no, if you caught him at the right time, he was a hell of a nice guy. He would, you know, he'd sit and talk with you. I always started to talk bowling with him because I thought, well, shit, that's, you know, he gets that all over the place. So, yeah. You know, he was okay. I obviously it's more fun to hear about him trying to fight with me over $500 and all that, but overall decent guy, but not a good partier.
And whoever you think he is,
I am.
Whoever you think you are.
He is. All right. Exactly.
Yeah. So in Chaos Blast, don't think I don't know that the Scotties just happened. I follow all the proper Canadian media channels. I saw that big hit with the hammer to knock him out for three. I saw. Don't think I'm not paying attention to the curling circuit. I'm ready for the Briar. Let's go.
Look at Zach laying down the curling smack. I love it.
He's got his fingers on the pulse of all Canadian sport.
The curling, the official sport of basically a sports show, hey, I think.
It's really just research because the Winter Olympics are next year, boys. So gotta get your curling, sharpened.
Oh man!
Wait a minute. So there's going to be So the Summer Olympics are happening again this summer.
In theory, yes.
Right. In theory, I assume.
Don't happen.
But then the Winter Olympics is 2022. Right.
The Winter Olympics are going on as scheduled in 2022.
Okay.
Yes. In Beijing.
Okay.
Oh God. Well, okay.
I believe it's Beijing.
It's not like you're going to have like a pangolin parade or something.
No, I'm just worried that everybody's going to be over there like, hey, we've got these weird outbreaks of them. Like, oh, fuck, here we go again.
They'll unleash like a giant thing of bats to just fly around.
Well, again,
if they had any sense of humor at all, that's exactly what they do.
It's going to be one of those Olympics, one of those Winter Olympics where everything's so separate because Beijing is like the lowest altitude Winter Olympics ever. And so like you'll have the arena sports, you know, your ice rink games down in Beijing itself, but then everything else is going to be up in the mountains like 45 minutes away or whatever.
That's fine.
That'll be interesting.
What?
But yeah, we're going to have Olympics in back-to-back years because of COVID. I think I remember seeing that the regular Olympics are still going to be as scheduled. So instead of it being a 4-year gap between summer games, it'll be a 3-year gap. Just to get things back online.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw that too.
Are there any new and exciting Olympic or Winter Olympic events we can look forward to? Sometimes they have a new
year. Well, in the summer games, we're getting skateboarding.
Really?
Yeah. Skateboarding and surfing. Surfing's coming for the Tokyo Games.
Okay.
I don't know if there's anything new in the Winter Games, but I know in the 2024 Olympics in Paris, we'll have breakdancing.
Oh my God.
What?
Yeah, every 4 years, like the local, whoever the host is, gets like to pick a provisional sport to like try out.
Breakdancing
scene.
That was like 1986, right? Breakdancing? I mean, come on. Isn't that aren't we a little past our due date on that one or our expire by date?
How do you
in 2020, 2021, I guess now, the Tokyo Olympics will feature the reintroduction of baseball and softball.
Okay, that's good. I guess.
As well as karate, skateboarding, nice. Sport climbing, and surfing.
How do you qualify, like judge surfing? Because I mean, do they have
it's a point system?
Is there like a wave machine so that every wave is the same kind of thing?
Right.
I don't know. Well, normal. I mean, I know down here in Orange County in Southern California, we have these surfing competitions all the time, and they're done on the actual beach. So it's just but they're done at these surf spots that you know have like the most consistent waves, and you know they're held at a time of year when the swell is going to be right, and that sort of stuff. So you can count on their being waves. I don't know what they're doing in Tokyo. Like, and really, if I don't know if you guys have ever seen video of Kelly Slater's like wave machine that he made in Central California.
Mm-mm.
But it's this wave pool built specifically for surfing that creates the perfect wave every time. And they've held a couple surf competitions there. And to the surfing purists, they don't actually like that because part of the art, you know, of surfing is taming the wave and not just getting onto a blank sheet and doing whatever you want on it. It's how you take that specific wave and what you do with it and the style of the trick that you pull and how long you ride the wave and how long you're in the tube and all that sort of stuff.
I guess I'm overthinking it, I suppose. I don't know. I, by the way, there were 7 new events added to the Winter Olympic program. I don't know how some of these feel like they're not new. Women's mono bobsled, the short track mixed team relay, ski jumping mixed team event, freestyle skiing, big air. You always a fan of big air.
Yeah.
Aerials mixed team event, and the snowboard crossed mixed team.
Wait a minute, I got to go with the ski jumping because I love ski jumping. So that mean that they're going to go down at the same time, or how's it like men and women as like a mixed doubles type
mixed
thing?
Doubles.
See, no, I think like side by side ramps. So that would be kind of fun.
See, that's as much as I do love the winter game. I do enjoy the winter games more than the summer games.
Yeah,
on the whole, but there's only so many winter sports you can have,
right?
So you do kind of have to just like mix it up and like, yeah, instead of just doing the full team of bobsled, there's the 4-man bobsled, then there's the 2-man bobsled, and I guess now you're gonna have a mono bobsled, which is like, how is that really any different than luge, which is just the inverse of skeleton where you do it face first instead.
Well, the bobsled, you've got to drive the great big old rig though, right, by yourself?
Well, it's a smaller bobsled.
Wow.
What didn't somebody? I mean, I feel like there were some people that died in.
Yeah,
was it luge or bobsled? Whichever one you're in the giant tube for that goes like ridiculously fast.
Luge rider. I think he actually got it. Yeah. I hate to be so descriptive about this, but I think he like bounced or something, and his head caught one of the cross beams as part of the structure. I mean, it killed him instantly.
It's part of the danger, and like I remember when that happened, they. Obviously, it's not like I'm paying attention to luge all days of the year like I am curling.
Right.
but I remember them talking about like over the years, there's been like an explosion of making the tracks a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
You know, where you're catching these insane G-forces and it's really at a certain point, it does become too much for the human body to actually be able to control and react to. So I think they've toned it down a little bit since that. Because I think it was the Vancouver Games in 2010. When that happened.
That's what Jeremy's saying in the chat here. It was the luge in Vancouver.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but didn't he hit his head on like a cross beam or something? And that's what did it. Like, I mean, it was horrible. I don't think they ever showed it, but it sounded terrible, whatever it was.
But it's also so strange because I'm always fascinated by the photos of like these abandoned Olympic villages and complexes. Like if you can find photos of the ones in, I think it's Sarajevo, where it's like, when the hell else are you going to use a bobsled run?
Well, I actually have an answer for that. So go ahead. I'll answer your question.
Well, but it's like some of these places you build these very specific things. Like in Brazil, they built the velodrome for cycling for the Rio Games. And it's like, how many cycling events are you going to host in a year? And how many bobsled events are you going to ever host? So some of these things just go into disrepair, or what they're doing now is they're getting a lot of like temporary things built. But again, I don't know if I trust a flimsy temporary luge run to anything, but
it's funny you bring this up because just yesterday, a friend of mine that lives down in Largo came up to visit me and he was telling me that he was in Jamaica and he got to, I guess they turned the Jamaican bobsled practice course into a tourist thing we could ride. It's like a little roller coaster type thing. So that's what you do.
I did that in Whistler as a kid.
Oh, here Andy's got a picture. Let's see.
These are just some photos of like the Sarajevo bobsled track.
Yeah,
like just all graffitied out.
See, you really couldn't do much with that though, because without the snow and the ice, it's just weird. Well, maybe that you could because you got a railing there. But wow,
I mean, it looks really cool. The photographs are awesome, but like, this, you know, how much money in economy was dumped into building this?
Yeah.
you know, just abandoned now. You know, there's just nothing else to it. But that's always the deal. When you bring up the Luge thing, I'm sorry, I'm laughing because the guy fucking died. But like, I just sort of in my mind, I have this vision of like, eventually there'll be the human cannon to where they'll just you know, it'll be like the because you know in the skiing thing where they go downhill, the Big Air where they jump off the ramp and they but something like that. Only it's, you know, just a guy on a mat and he just goes down a lubed up hill. And just shoots off from the hill, and it's like, A, he has to survive, and B, it's a, you know, it's a distance, like, you know, a big helmet, they could put him in like a big suit or something, but like, like,
as a kid, did you ever get like a burlap sack and ride it down a grass hill, you know, those sorts of things?
I was thinking more like a slip and slide kind of thing, where, you know, you just kind of get on your...
That thing in Britain, the cheese rolling down the hill?
Well,
no, God.
We, you know...
Have you seen this?
That looks horrible. Anything? Are they in like a big wheel?
Yeah, yeah. They get a big wheel of cheese. They roll down the hill, and everyone chases it.
Okay. No, I, you know, and, or I live in Ohio. We live just south of Cedar Point, the amusement park, and they come up with these new rides every year. And I always joke that the next ride is going to be, we're just going to put you in a cannon and shoot you into the lake. That's going to be the same idea, basically. Like, what else is left?
So, like, each country could build a trebuchet to see how far they can launch. Like, they look for people like racehorse driver, racehorse, like that, whatever they call the racers, to where they, you know, jockeys, to where they're
jockeys.
Like, one, they're the size of people. You know? They just, they find the smallest man they can, and then they just put him in a trebuchet and fucking launch him. You know, Germany wins again. Let's go check on.
I'd watch that shit. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Scraping Ludwig off the.
Ludwig, we had a miscalculation and Ludwig missed the target. Sorry about that.
Overshot it by a good 80 meters.
He's in the parking lot.
Nah, anyway, that'd be funny shit. Yeah, and, I mean, it'd be horrible, but I'd laugh.
Yeah. Dennis brings up a good point. I think it's also why, like, LA. Got the 2026 games, or 2028, I think. Because they're just these you're getting so many of these things where like they're going into disrepair.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Olympics hasn't already gone to like just a rotation of like put it in LA, put it in Beijing, put it in Sydney, put it in Paris, and just rotate. I know why.
Yeah,
but like sense. I think even people are reaching the point because I think. Was it maybe it was the Beijing Games or maybe it's the next Winter Olympics? People were just not bidding to host it. So much so that like Kazakhstan became a finalist for the Winter Games. And it's like, are we really going to send everybody to freaking Kazakhstan?
Oh, I think we absolutely should, but yeah.
What a really uncomfortable conversation to be having, you know. When the committee is just like, guys, you know that Kazakhstan's like one of the finalists here, right? It's Kazakhstan. We gonna, you know.
Do we like? Do we bother? Is it like it is in the Borat movie? I don't know.
It's my wife.
Oh boy!
Welcome to Kazakhstan, number one Olympic city of all times. Yeah,
but no. Well, I mean, because I mean, there's so much money and this geopolitics. And,
oh yeah. Sure, you know, sure, but like. Yeah. Because there is so much money, there's also only so many countries that can like afford to do it, and the rest are just bankrupting themselves if they actually want to host it. Like, I think that was a problem with Kazakhstan too. Is like Kazakhstan was like putting together this bid to host, and it's like, guys, just don't do it. No.
Save your money.
You have to. Well, and they became a finalist, I think, because Norway backed down and was like, yeah, you know what? We decided it's going to cost us way too much money, so Norway declines.
Norway's like, Kazakhstan's got this. We're good. We're fine. Keep our money.
Yeah, right. For the memes, we want Kazakhstan to host.
Right.
I mean, I think Kazakhstan is actually supposed to be a very beautiful country, but the whole...
Sure, but it's also like, come on.
I mean... the Olympics, though, is better served in a place that's... already immensely, yeah, you have infrastructure, but also that is built to have the many, many, many people and can quickly adapt and repurpose or move on from that structure, those structures being assembled. Because like these other places, these smaller places to where they, when they host the Olympics, it's this massive inswell of humanity And so they put up, they spend billions and billions of dollars building hotels and all the facilities. And then after a few months, everybody leaves and then you have all this nothing.
Yep.
You know, like, what are you supposed to do with all this stuff?
You spend billions of dollars for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then you hope that people live in these apartments when they're done, or that you can attract cycling championships or whatever you want.
Right.
Or cannon, yeah, the cannon more, fodder competition.
Or cannon, or diving, horse diving, as Jeremy suggests.
Are they still is the X Games still a thing?
I think it was, and then COVID. I think it was supposed to be, and COVID wiped it out last year, didn't it?
Yeah, I know that they still happen, but they're not nearly the events they were in the 90s. Like, I put the X Games on the same tier as, like, the Warped Tour, Andy, of, like, something that was the most important thing in the world for, like, 5 years. And was so extreme and so cool and so young and hip. And then, like, you know, the people that were young and hip became older. And then everyone's like, yeah, I don't really want to do this anymore.
Like Lollapalooza?
Yeah.
The X Games was such a early 2000s, late 90s. Just putting an X, calling it the X Games. That's such extreme. That's such a turn of the century. Just like, oh, yep. It's embarrassing. It's like, it's sponsored by JNCO Jeans. You know, like, what is this? This kind of like, oh, cringe.
And Mountain Dew.
Well, yeah. Mountain Dew is still around, but it's just, you know.
No, but yeah, but that was like, that was the hookup for sponsorship was Mountain Dew with X Games. I mean, that was like the big one, right? Or was it?
Sure. I don't remember. I remember about the X Games was being surprisingly either really, really bored with them or shocked by them. Because the boring parts is usually like, you have to be a connoisseur of like, people doing the bike course or something, to where they're just kind of like keeping on one wheel, and it's like, okay, I guess this is something interesting. But then there's the like half pipe stuff where the guys just like fall 80 feet and their shoes fly off. You
know? Yeah.
Like, those are interesting, but I don't know. I never see the appeal, but it did make a lot of people want to be pro skateboarders for a long time.
Yeah,
sure. That and Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yep. Yeah, that little unrealistic though with that game. You'd be in the air for like 80 seconds, you know, every time you hit a ramp.
Oh, you couldn't string more than 6 tricks together at one time? get the combo maker going?
Well, that's the thing, is that people play the game and think that's what real skating was at a professional level. And then you put it on and Tony Hawk does a 900 or whatever, and the crowd loses their mind. But people who play Tony Hawk's video game are like, what is that? He's spuns.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
Speaking of, like, I know The Ringer does this sort of crap all the time, and like, maybe don't take these tournaments that they have seriously. But they just had the greatest video game characters of all time tournament.
Was it done? Did they finish that?
They finished. And like, it finished out as you would expect. It was Mario taking the championship over Link in the final. Mario beat Sonic in his part of the final four. But the fourth member of the final four, you have Mario, you have Link, and you have Sonic. Three icons of video games. Surely they deserve to be part of that final four. Link had to go up against Tony Hawk.
Ugh.
And it was
wait a minute. Hold on a minute here. Any tournament that doesn't include like Tecmo, Super Bowl, Bo Jackson.
Oh, no. They were in there. They were in there. This was just the final four. It was like a 64 character field.
Yeah, I know. But I still think Bo Jackson's got to be there.
He was.
And in the final four.
Mm. Let me pull up the tournament.
Yeah, I'm looking for him now. I'm trying to look for where Bo Jackson is. The damn font is so small on this image.
Yeah, it's. And like, I know it's just like people at a certain point are like, oh yeah, Tony Hawk is a really good skateboarder. It's like, yeah, but if you ever actually played the Tony Hawk games, yes. I spent most of my time not playing as Tony Hawk.
So Bo Jackson lost in the first round to Luigi.
Oh, I don't know about that. But I lean heavily towards the sports video game, so I'm very biased. So don't take my opinion to be worth anything.
Your Elite Eight was Mario, who beat Donkey Kong. Sonic beat Yoshi. Tony Hawk beat Master Chief of Halo, which was like,
fuck.
Come on.
That's a disgrace.
And Link beat Pikachu, kind of a toss up there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk beat Tony Hawk's run. Tony Hawk beat Tom Nook of Animal Crossing, which, okay, fine, whatever. Then he beats Ellie of Last of Us.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know what she was
doing. And then beat Mega Man, where it's like, no, okay, Tony Hawk, you're having a little Cinderella run here in this video game tournament, but you're not a better video game character than Mega Man is. Like,
well, to be fair, nothing compares to the GTOV. This shit.
Right. I don't, why are they even bothering with this nonsense?
Yeah, I get it.
It's totally, you know, I was following it briefly, probably a round ago or so, and just kind of rolled my eyes because I don't know what it is. Maybe our tournament is just so badass that I don't.
It's the gold standard, man. It's as simple as that. It is.
And I just, from major publications, and not that the Ringer is a major publication necessarily, but like it's a big entity, and it's like, don't you guys have anything else to do? You know, like, can't you think of anything else?
Yeah, like us, we've got nothing else to do. No, so.
Whoa. What the hell is that? Whoa, I think the drones finally came for Greg.
Was that Greg?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Greg,
unplug or something.
We went a whole show without audio issues, and then Greg's mic has imploded. Nope, you're still there, buddy. I don't know what the hell's going on, but you have this horrible noise coming out of your...
High-pitched.
It is genuinely terrible. Please stop that. He's flatlining. We're going to lose him.
Oh, God.
Greg, he's muted.
Greg, okay. He's muted.
I'm surprised my dog's didn't.
I thought that was like, I was afraid that was like a feedback loop in my earphones, and then it certainly wasn't. Like,
plus, I have no idea how Tony Hawk. I didn't think Tony Hawk, because I mean, Bo Jackson. I figured more people knew Tony Jackson than Tony Hawk.
Yeah, the Ringer has a slightly younger demographic, I think.
Guys,
yeah, you're there. Yeah. Okay, you're good.
All right.
That was strange.
I don't know. I don't know what
did
happened.
You hear what we were hearing?
I heard it barely. I could hear like a slight squeal, but I didn't. I thought it was coming from the other end. I didn't know it was coming from me. Hey.
You may want to edit that out when you go to publish this or whatever.
What time? How far are we in? About okay, yeah. I can fix that out.
Yeah. Any minute, pretty much
for posterity. Just like ugh,
my dog was not happy. Dennis. Yeah. Jesus, it was that bad, huh?
No, it was
quite high pitched. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know the tournament stuff. You know, it makes for interesting. I guess. I mean, I just looked at it. I gave him a click. So
yeah.
Who knows? But.
Yeah, but you know what? It kind of irks me, and I'm sure that I don't know with the Twitterverse being what it is and all that, but I see a lot of what I would consider pale imitations of the GTOV that have popped up over the years. Now, granted, we didn't reinvent the wheel when we came up with this thing, but come on, you know, there's one original. It's this one, and the rest are just copies. So pay no attention to the other people behind the curtain. But I do see a. More of them than I used to since we started doing this one, which is the ninth version this coming year.
Yeah, there's no – I mean, again, I think it's all a matter of like – I mean, there's one that's – the only thing I can compare it to is there's a radio station in Chicago that – sports radio station that did a tournament of bad, and it was basically just stuff that sucked, and they would just it was kind of funny, and it was kind of all like meta a little bit too, because you had to know like the hosts and stuff. But it wasn't as, you know, that's the same thing I kind of like about the GTOV is that there's a lot of inside jokes and references, but there's also just a lot of weird shit you probably won't find anywhere else.
I think this year is going to be possibly the weirdest one yet.
Potentially. Yeah. It's going to be very, very interesting discussion for the people for sure.
Cause I know that my bracket has some of the strangest entries I've ever put in this thing. And again, shout out to Cosmic one more time for the outstanding job he did in documenting all the entries we came up with over the past year and completely forgot about. So again, thanks again for that. That's awesome.
We'll hopefully we don't have too many overlaps when we do.
You know, see, we should have a draft. Like next week, we'll have a draft of that that list.
Well, say we what do we have? Candy draft last year.
Yeah.
When the hell did we even do that? Was that like June or something?
I don't remember.
You tell me, man. Time
was at the height of the COVID. Shutdown.
Right. So I don't know. We can't really do candy draft again. I mean, but the draft was kind of fun. That was an interesting little episode.
We'll do a draft of the candidates that of our own.
Was it after last year's draft?
Let me. I'm going
to
find
do it like after the NFL draft.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, it's
right here.
There had to be a reason why we did it.
It was, I think there was just nothing else going on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got to dig it up here.
I'll find it in about 30 seconds. It looks like it was from 10 months ago. So whatever be May.
Yeah. So yeah. Right after the NFL draft. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, we can talk about it.
I got robbed in the candy draft. I don't care what anybody says.
So we all felt like we won that damn thing. So that means it's a good draft. You know?
Well, all three of us except Mike won the draft. Yeah. I know he's not here to defend himself, but
Canadian
Mike did not win that. Mike did not win that draft.
What kind of site is this? We don't have the date when the show aired on here? That's stupid.
Don't worry about it. But hopefully Mike is holding things together tonight.
Yeah, that's a rough one, man.
Yeah.
Last thing to talk about, just because it happened, unfortunately for us, the day after, was Tiger.
Yeah, forgot all about it.
I think it's good that we forgot all about it because while it was happening, everyone was covering it. And I think a lot of people were reacting to it as like, oh no, is this our Kobe of 2019 or of 2021? Thankfully, you know, just the broken legs and like a ankle fracture. He was by himself. He didn't hit anybody else. Could have been much worse, but it was like people were ready to you know, put the tombstone up and do their eulogies for Tiger, which is what we got most of the day. But thankfully, he's okay. But probably done golfing for
a while, at least, for sure. Yeah. You know, year and a half. I mean, if he's got like fractured ankles and stuff, that's it takes a while.
People were pretty quick to. I mean, not that I'm saying I'm not, but like. There was when the news broke, you immediately think of, you know, reckless driving, drunk, intoxicated, drugs. You know, there had to have been something, you know, causing this accident beyond just.
If I'm being honest, my first thought was based on the last time something happened with him, did his wife, you know, chase him out of the house again in the car, and this is what happened. I'm not going to lie.
Didn't he get a DUI or something recently, like fairly recently that I thought
it was like 2016.
Yeah. And right. So, I mean, there's some minor, I guess.
Yeah.
And
it was once because I had forgotten about that. And once that came up on the news rotation, he was pulled over for a DUI for mismanaging his painkillers coming off of back surgery. What was he coming off of just now? A back surgery. You know, it makes you think that, I mean, cause it was 7 in the morning. He was by himself. There was no skid marks on the road. But there was also no signs of intoxication according to like initial reports from the police and whatever. And like Dennis said, he's driven that road 100 times. And I just seeing the video of like, of where it happened, and it's kind of like I don't understand how it happened because you can pick up speed going down a hill and it was off a curve, but like there was no skid marks. He didn't like fight it. Either he fell asleep at the wheel or something, because there's no sign of like foul play or struggle to change course.
To be fair though, I mean, he could have lost like a brake line or you know, a tire could have gone bad on him. And then when you roll it the way he did, it's going to be hard to spot that because it's not going to be obvious. You know what I mean? Like it could have been a mechanical problem is what I'm trying to say that caused the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think if it was that Tiger's PR would have gotten ahead of that pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, granted there's no, you know, I don't know if there's been I dare say postmortem, but there hasn't been like a report on the vehicles, you know, overall condition, you know, but you'd assume that Tiger wouldn't be driving a damn lemon out there, you know. No.
Well, it was a car given to him by the golf tournament because it was stamped on the side with the Genesis and Invitational thing. Huh. He was driving back to the golf course to do some like promotional video.
Okay, so
it was probably hit the median going downhill. Was that a common thing that can happen on that road?
So what I thought that I heard over I was listening to the radio shortly after it happened. I thought that I heard that road in particular has its fair share of accidents. I mean, it wasn't like this was any old accident. I mean, the car was totaled. You know, I mean, he flipped. Oh,
it flipped like several more than once.
Yeah, so he had to been going pretty damn fast. But I mean, he's like you said, he's alive. His golfing career is, you know, secondary right now to everything else. I mean, it's one of those things to where if he like goes to another tournament, even just participates in another tournament someday, it's almost like, well done. Like, you did it again. Like, that's good for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But his days
of chasing majors are done.
Probably, like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only thing to hang on for was, like, can he win another? Can he, you know, go back to the Masters? I think he's tied for, like, most tournament wins of all time. So, you know, but like you said, if he can just even play in a tournament at some point, you know, at that top level in the rest of his career, then great. But
man, I just remember being in junior high school when he was at his peak. And even then they were just talking about how he's going to smash all these records and he's the best ever live to golf. And it just shows like how many years he lost to scandal and to,
right.
Fame, yeah. You know, yep. Just a strange career that guy's had. Let's see. Hawthorne Boulevard has multiple escape lanes on it for when your brakes do go out. So that tells you what you're dealing with. Huh.
So okay. It doesn't sound like an easy road to drive under the best of circumstances.
No. Steep, yeah. Downhill, on a curve.
Yeah, well, that, you know, things can go sideways quick. God hope that he wasn't, but he could have been texting while driving and not paying any attention. Could have been on the phone. Could have been a million different things. And if he was on the phone or doing something like that, then the PR department's not going to bring that up because people are going to go, what the fuck were you doing texting and driving and blah, blah, blah. So who knows? But yeah. I know it looked pretty rough.
Yeah. But again, to reiterate, as we've all said, just very good that it wasn't something more that we can't talk about it now and just be like, oh, geez, you know, yeah. Really dodged a bullet there. But because there was a lot of misinformation early on of like, they had to use the jaws of life. It's like, oh, no, they just had to use an axe on the windshield and
yeah. Well, that's you know, that's the sensationalism we all want.
It's the acts of life, not as important. Yes. Before we close out, boys, I just think we got to throw in, how good did the Wild versus the Kings look the other night?
I got to pull it up, baby. That was good stuff.
Oh my God!
The reverse, like, of, I think of any jersey matchup we've had, let alone the reverse retro matchups, just the amount of color that game provided.
Spectacular.
The bright green, the bright gold against the Kings and their bright purple on the just, yeah.
I don't think the Wild look terrible in their normal getup, so I'm not as strong an advocate for them going to this full time. But the Kings need to sign the paperwork and get everything done, and this is their new look going forward. End of story. It's just fantastic, I think.
It really is a shame that they won the cup and what they did, because otherwise I think they would have been able to switch at a certain point, because even when they won the cup, like, they were in the transition of, I believe they were still in the transition of, those were still their thirds, if I'm not mistaken. Or no, I guess they might have had the matching set by then. But either way, it was right in the middle of them going to the full silver and black full time. It's a shame that they're stuck with the lines going down the sleeves and the dumb home plate logo and you know, whatever you want to call it, the home plate, the pencil.
I'm pulling up some images here. Just an outstanding looking contest here.
Unbelievable.
One here. And
yeah, there you go.
Here.
Yeah. Like Dennis said, the that was the year that the white, I think that was the first year of the white, if I'm not mistaken. And the purple and silver had been relegated to a third, but yeah, just, oof, look at
how good that looks, man. That's fucking fantastic.
Like color. It's not just a black team versus a white team. It's purple versus green.
And those Kings uniforms are just unbelievable. Just beautiful.
Yeah. Looks terrific. I mean, the Wild, I mean, yeah, the crest is whatever, but I love the numbers, man. I love the yellow number with like the deep drop shadow or whatever it is. It's this looks good. And the Kings, though, yeah, the Kings just need to, somebody needs to smack them and tell them, like, just drop it, make the black an alt or something, and just
throw the black in the trash and go with this, man. Be done with it. Even do Lakers thing and do gold, like for your I guess it'll be your road jersey now, if you want.
Nah, the NHL wouldn't let them do that.
Wait, did they do that before? Was it white? In the old set, the purple.
When, in the original jerseys, they were purple and gold.
That's what I
purple
thought.
At home and gold on the road, but that's since been outlawed. So like now you have
okay.
That's why Nashville is all gold at home instead of all gold on the road.
You know what? Though a white version of that would look really good too. I think, like that jersey. It would look really sharp if you did it right. Yeah. So, yeah. Fantastic, though. That's one of the best looking hockey games I've ever seen. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Yeah.
At the very least, I would have a pretty good feeling of the Kings going forward. Keeping that around as some sort of alternate and getting rid of the silver alternate that they currently use, which is not very good because it's not even silver. It's like a dingy gray.
Yeah.
And then they're also wearing like the regular Gretzky retro at some point this year.
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
The white version of the silver and black with the Gretzky logo. So.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, it'll be all right.
That'll be all right, yeah.
The Kings are one of those teams that have too many identities to pick from, you know? It's unfortunate that they won the cup in one of their worst ones because that's the one that they have committed to sticking around for too long. So now it's like, oh, we could do the purple and black, but it's like, oh, but how will we honor the cup years? And it's like, well, you got to make terms with that, I think.
Yeah, someday. Hopefully they'll course correct and embrace the color. That'd be glorious. And the Wild, too. I hope this is a stepping stone for them to like get somewhere acceptable and figure out who and what they are. And for all the people that are like, they just look like the North Stars. Well, yeah. Well, no shit.
North Stars had a good look.
I don't know. It looks that uniform matchup was like when me and Zach when we were putting it up on our group text, it's like, it's a fine wine, this kind of savory.
Bright colors.
Yeah. It's so good to see. That's why like there's too many teams in the NHL that lean into, especially if they have like black accents, like if black is their second color, they lean into having that on the jersey a little bit too much. And so we get these kind of darker, dingier looks. Even if they're paired with a brighter color, it's like, no, this is the way to do it. Lean into it. Like I would love for the Ducks to go orange full time. I would love for the Kings to go purple full time. What other team? Like the Senators, I guess the Senators look okay in black, but
yeah, we just have to be happy with what they have now. Just be great.
It's true. It's
very true. I just said green and gold just looks killer to me. I mean, my Toledo Gold Diggers, the original ones from the IHL, that's what they wore too. So I'm kind of partial to that color scheme. But yeah, well, you know what though? You would think the IHL, the old Iron League, would be like dingy. But I remember them playing like the green and gold versus basically it was Edmonton's orange and blue. I think Saginaw wore that. Very colorful league. But yeah, I'm with you, Zach. The brighter popping colors, the better.
Same. Yep.
Especially against the black ice, like, or the white ice. Just let it be bright.
Yeah, it looked great. It looked fantastic. But anyway, should we wrap it up, fellas?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. Well, again, Mike, we are so sorry to hear about Rampage. It's a terrible thing, but, you know, it's just time, brother. That's all you can do.
Yep, we're thinking of you.
Yep. And we will see you all next week. And we've got the GTOV selection show coming up 2 weeks from tonight. So that'll be fun, too.
Yeah, give your dogs and cats and pets a big hug and a snack tonight.
Yeah.
Brace it.
And I'm going to tell you, too, if you've got a minute or two and a couple dollars to spare, throw some money at one of your local animal shelters so that we can keep rescuing these animals. And they'll find good homes like they did with Mike and me and with Andy and with Zach and everybody else. So there you go.
Well said.
All right. So follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasting is sold. We will see you next week.